This is Diana Cordy with Book Talk. My guest is journalist Sanjana Sathan, here with her debut novel, Gold Diggers, soon to be a TV show. Welcome to our program.
Thank you for having me.
The term gold diggers has many definitions, and you tell tales in your book about it, from digging for gold to alchemy and drinking it. What does the title mean to you?
Yeah, the term gold diggers over the course of the novel takes on a number of different meanings, as you mentioned. It's first used to apply to a woman in the community that the book takes place in, who is seen as too pretty and a little bit scheming, and it's a very sexist term, of course. It also takes place in 2006 when the Kanye West is everywhere, so there's a little bit of pop culture in there. And then, of course, we also, the book has some gold rush history, so it gets into the literal history of people who came to the U.S. digging for gold. What I found interesting across all of those categories in writing a novel that is about immigration and about families is this idea that digging for gold or being a gold digger has something to do with neediness, and it has to do with trying to use ambition to make yourself a home. And those are kind of the themes at the heart of the book.
For sure. Were you surprised to discover that the thing you made up, drinking gold, was based on truth?
I was very surprised. Maybe it was in the back of my mind somewhere, because we've all heard stories of alchemy that, you know, the alchemists believed that if they could make gold from scratch, they would achieve immortality. When I was writing this book, I was playing with the idea that it's about a mother, a daughter, and their next door neighbor, Neil, who all kind of get into these gold thefts around the Atlanta suburbs. And instead of trading the stolen gold for cash, they turn it into kind of a magical elixir and they drink it. And that helps them steal the ambitions and energies of the gold's original owners. And so that was a highly contemporary conceit for me. It was about immigrant families stealing from other immigrant families. It was about people kind of throwing elbows and getting in each other's way. But it turned out that over the course of history, people have had this idea that if you drink gold, some power might come to you.
How does that work out?
In my book?
In history.
It's one of those like prophecies at the start of a Greek tragedy, you know, it's like, you are not going to be able to become like a god. There are going to be consequences for flying too close to the sun.
What's happening as your book begins?
My book opens in 2006, suburban Georgia, kind of set against the backdrop of this post 9/11 era, which is when I was growing up in Atlanta, Georgia. And the narrator, Neil, who I mentioned, is really kind of struggling in his community. He lives in this kind of bubble of Asian Americans on the outskirts of Atlanta. And they are really kind of at each other's throats. Everyone is extremely competitive, extremely gossipy, and he just feels like he's underachieving. He's not meeting his parents' standards for high achievement. His best friend, Anita, turns out to be doing really well. She's kind of getting more and more popular. She's about to leave their suburban high school for a much fancier private school, and he can tell that he's being left behind. So he goes to try and find out, he starts to pay attention to Anita and try to figure out what's going on that has her leaving him in the dust, which is when he happens upon this gold theft plot that we were talking about before. And he kind of gets in on the action. He starts drinking some of this elixir along with Anita and her mom. It took kind of, I left my job as a journalist and I went to graduate school. I got an MFA and that's what I was doing when I really had time to sink into the project. It's really hard to find time to write a really good novel on top of having a day job. And I was just really lucky to have that time and space.
Mm-hmm. Was that at the Iowa workshop?
Yes, yeah, it was at the Iowa Writers Workshop.
You said, I would wonder if Asian Americans would be upset to read my book that is about the kinds of people that a lot of folks are like, wow, We're not that. But the only answer that I have is that I was that. What sort of reaction are you getting from Asian Americans?
Yeah, I should say the context for that quote that you read, I was talking to an Asian American interviewer, and we were talking about the concept of the model minority myth, which people are now becoming more and more acquainted with. But you know, it's a racist idea that all Asians are high achievers, and it's dangerous because it eliminates the textures of the community. It removes the fact that Asian America is a very diverse demographic where people speak a lot of different languages. They come from a lot of different socioeconomic classes, and like a wealthier upper middle class Indian American like me often takes up a little bit more space in the cultural imagination of Asian America than like a Hmong refugee or a Vietnamese American. And so one thing that I've been aware of and I was wondering about is whether or not people would feel upset to see like a story about a collective Asian American experience that is not the collective Asian American experience. And I have been really, really grateful to see how much people are willing to let the book stand as a story of its own. Like it used to be, I think, that there were so few stories about non-white people that came out, and so few that people paid attention to, that it felt like every time there was a story about someone who looked even a tiny bit like you, you wanted to see all of yourself in them. And that's not possible in any kind of art. It's not possible in any kind of TV show. Mm-hmm. And so it's been gratifying to see that people are saying, this is one story of an Asian American experience. It's one story of an Indian American experience, and it does not stand for everyone. And I've been really relieved to see people's generosity about that. Same school. But I think one thing that maybe people are starting to learn if they don't come from immigrant communities is how high stakes it feels to need to achieve so well that you sort of make sense of your parents' decision to come here, that you live up to like the burden of the sacrifice they made to get here. And I think that is something a little particular to the immigrant experience.
You were born in the U.S. into an immigrant family from India. When you worked as a journalist in Mumbai, did you feel like you were home, or did you feel you were Indian and American?
Yeah, rural India, where my mom grew up. And that's not what you get when you go to Mumbai. Mumbai is like New York. Mumbai is incredibly cosmopolitan. I'm like going out and dancing on rooftops there. It's very, very different. So I got my own version of India.
Indeed. When you were writing this book, who did you see as the audience?
Oh, if I had believed that people would buy it, I would never have been able to write it. Obviously, I hoped that someone would write it. I wasn't just writing in my journal, but
yeah.
I mean, there's that quote, I don't even know who said it for the first time, but you have to write the book that you need, write the book that you want to read. And I just needed this. I knew what kinds of books I loved. And this was the book that I had been waiting for myself. So I had to write it.
Well, thank you. My guest is Sanjana Sethian, author of Gold Diggers, published by Penguin Press. This is Diana Cordy with Book Talk.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome.